All righty, away we go. Hour number four of our radio program, Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. So we're talking about this earlier. Let's get some odds on this conversation. I saw Jonathan Jones earlier today tweeted out that, according to his sources, it's his understanding that the Ravens did not fully integrate quarterback Lamar Jackson into the hiring process for their new offensive coordinator spot that they did fill the other day. And then you see immediately after that, The Athletic in Baltimore is claiming that Lamar actually was given multiple opportunities to provide input and be involved. So we know that they eventually go with Todd Monken, who is the new OC, but Jonathan Jones's report is pretty clear. It's his understanding the Ravens did not fully integrate quarterback Lamar Jackson into the hiring process to their new offensive coordinator. The other report is the understanding is that he was given multiple opportunities to provide input and be involved. Now, I think the wording of that is very hazy. Like, if I'm saying, oh, I'm giving you multiple opportunities to be involved, did you take advantage of that? Like, that to me reads, if I had to take a guess, that the Ravens tried to get him involved, but for whatever the reasons were, Lamar wasn't interested in being involved. But even going back to the first report by Jonathan Jones, it's my understanding the Ravens did not fully integrate quarterback Lamar Jackson into the hiring process for the new offensive coordinator. So then if that one is true, could you then argue, oh, like, did they just partially ask him? And then he gave a suggestion and maybe two or three, and then they didn't really interview any of the guys that he suggested? Here's, like, the thing. With this Lamar Jackson situation, the Ravens keep on trying to tell you 2 + 2 = 5. Like, that's what they're trying to tell you. And, like, we're sitting here going, wait, 2 + 2 doesn't = 5. 2 + 2, last time I checked, right, Emmanuel, it equals 4, correct?
Last I checked.
Okay, good. You have a Fordham education. You know, I just went to Temple, so I wanted to make sure on that.
Just put it to great use, by the way.
Yes, you know, that's why you spent all that money to go to Fordham and be a Ram. There's no doubt about that. But the Ravens keep on telling you, even as recently as when the season ended, Lamar's our quarterback, Lamar's our guy, 100% he's going to be on the team next year. But then we don't even know what role he had in the hiring process of the offensive coordinator. And don't get me wrong, I think it's a slippery slope. And I said this at the time before we knew what happened off the field with Deshaun Watson, that it's a slippery slope when you allow your player, even though he's the quarterback, to have input on who the next coach of the team's going to be. Like, this is different. This is an OC. But remember when the Texans were hiring their head coach before the whole Deshaun Watson situation went to an area that we never thought it was going to go to, and a conversation we never thought it was going to go to. Like, you remember Eric Bieniemy? They had to ask the NFL if they could get, like, pretty much a waiver and let them allow to interview Eric Bieniemy because it was past when they were allowed to do so with preparation for the playoffs and stuff like that. So it's like, okay, you open up Pandora's box. Yeah, we're going to give you a seat at the table, or we're going to let you have input on the GM and the coach at the time. But then if we don't hire your guy, like, if you're the player, don't you just say, well, you didn't listen to me? Like, how much did you actually value my opinion? So I always think you got to be careful, and you got to be really meticulous if you're going to let players make decisions or play an instrumental role in who you're going to hire for any member of the coaching staff. Especially when it's higher up positions like GM and coach. But in this case, head coach. In this case, it's an offensive coordinating position. But still, the Ravens tell you Lamar's their guy. They love Lamar. And this is another instance where it's like, do you really? Because if you're planning on keeping Lamar Jackson long term, why didn't he have a bigger role? Or why are there conflicting reports on what his role was for the hiring of Todd Monken at the offensive coordinating position? It's like really a hairy, sticky situation here. Where in the offseason last year, it was simply, oh, when Lamar is ready to get to negotiation tables, we're ready to go and we're ready to get this deal ironed out. We're ready to cross the T's and dot the I's. And then you had that that quote, I think it was from the owner of the team, where he said, Lamar is like so focused on winning a Super Bowl and he's so ingrained into that preparation that he doesn't have time to negotiate a contract. And like Lamar shows up to camp after not speaking for pretty much the entire offseason, he's like, yeah, I had no clue what any of that was about. Like, I'm ready to get a deal done. And maybe it's just fatigue. Maybe it's just we've had this conversation now for what's going on year number three. And I say this every time, I sound like a broken record player. In year one, I didn't think a deal was going to get done because Josh Allen didn't get paid yet. And it made sense since Lamar already won the MVP unanimously to let, even though Josh Allen you knew was a better quarterback, for Josh Allen to figure out his deal so you could top it. But last offseason, I know Kyler Murray got paid and Watson got paid, but it made sense for him to get that deal done. And now it's like the last resort. I know they could franchise tag him up to 2 years, but if they don't get the deal done this offseason, I really believe that they're never going to get the deal done. And right now, I said this at the start of the show, I'll say it again. I don't think they're getting the deal done this offseason. I would be surprised if they get a deal done this offseason. If we're doing a show this offseason at any point where it's like, okay, Lamar just signed a 5-year, 6-year extension with the Baltimore Ravens. Because even when he was hurt, like you sent some frustration from the Ravens where like it made you wonder, do they actually genuinely believe that this guy is actually hurt where he should be missing a playoff game? And Emmanuel, you've been around sports a long time. I could never remember a scenario where a player the week, like during the buildup to a playoff game, himself announced that he was out. Like I know we're in a new media era where players have podcasts, right, and all that stuff. But he took to Twitter to say he was not playing in the game. With injuries like that, it always comes from the organization. Oh, on the injury report, we ruled out Lamar Jackson. Like, this whole thing is a cluster, you know what? This whole thing is bizarre. And I don't get, you must be the biggest Ravens fan in the world. And you must have on these purple glasses. And you must be just in denial. I don't get how anyone thinks it's likely at this point. Even though the deal should get done. Like, it makes so much sense to get done. But with all these things you've seen pop up in the last 3 years, I don't see how you could sit there and say you expect a deal to get done.
You got to be blind. You got to be a blind-eyed fan who chooses to ignore certain huge facts to say, we expect Lamar Jackson to be here long-term.
And I was once one of those fans. When Brady was that last year in New England, and Adam Schefter got up on ESPN, and he said, there's three options this offseason for Tom Brady. He retires, he returns to New England, or he goes somewhere else. And he said, going back to New England is the least likeliest option. I was like, oh, that's blasphemy, right? I was like, oh, that's ridiculous. I know he's Adam Schefter. And I was like sitting there like Adam Schefter, one of the more respected guys that cover the NFL. Oh, he's clickbait. Oh, he's just trying to drive up the ratings. Oh, yeah, Brady's house is on the market. Oh, that's nothing. That guy's probably just trying to upgrade his house. There were all these signs. And Brady left New England. Like, a lot of times when someone's trying to depart, there's signs. It's almost obvious. But depending on, and this is like the fun part of sports, where your heart is and your emotions are, that really is what determines how obvious those signs are. And I have no attachment to Lamar or no attachment to the Ravens. And just sitting here from afar, right, looking at this scenario, every time we talk about the Ravens and Lamar the last 3 years, it seems like it's a reality show and it seems messy. It seems really messy where it's almost as if you're on a reality show. You have a couple that's in the same house, but they're not talking to one another. You think that's a healthy relationship? No, obviously not. And in this case, they keep on telling you publicly, everything's fine, everything's fine. But these reports keep on just funneling out and coming on out of we don't even know how much of a say he had in this offensive coordinating position. Like, I'm going to give you some audio here. This is NFL insider Jordan Schultz. He was on The Fan in Baltimore. This is Jordan Schultz on the Ravens when talking to offensive coordinator, from what he's been told, and I know they eventually hired Monken, that they didn't guarantee that Lamar was going to be back.
There was not only were there no assurances, but the fact that they genuinely didn't know, the organization and John Harbaugh didn't know what was going to transpire this offseason. And that it was almost like anything is possible type of deal.
Wait, hold on. Now, Kevin Garnett style, anything's possible when talking about Lamar Jackson? Like, what? Few weeks ago, it was, this guy's definitely our quarterback. He's definitely coming back. And now you have offensive coordinating guys that are in for interviews. I know they eventually hired Monken, where they're like, well, what's the deal there? And he's like, oh, well, anything's possible. And you know what? I actually have to apologize. I have to do something I normally do not do on this show. I have to apologize to John Harbaugh because I've been misquoting him throughout the entire show. Emmanuel, he didn't say there was a 100% chance Lamar Jackson stays in Baltimore. The quote was, there's a 200% chance Lamar Jackson stays in Baltimore. So I was off by 100%. So he goes from January like 19th or 18th, this was, Lamar Jackson, 200% chance he stays in Baltimore, to now you have an NFL insider in Jordan Schultz saying they didn't guarantee anything to the offensive coordinators on if Lamar's going to be there next year. You then have Jonathan Jones from CBS Sports, national insider. It's his understanding that the Ravens did not fully integrate quarterback Lamar Jackson into the hiring process of the new offensive coordinator. Then you have some dude from The Athletic that covers the Ravens, Jeff Zarebeck, however you say his last name, I don't know. My understanding was he was given multiple opportunities to provide input, be involved. So the only thing that shows that he was involved is he was provided multiple opportunities. Now, like, I have opportunities to do things. Doesn't mean I take them. So, like, was he given an opportunity to be involved and Lamar then said no? And if that's the case, it shows you Lamar doesn't want to be there long term. Because if you're a quarterback and the organization comes to you and says, we're giving you an opportunity to be involved in our offensive coordinating search, and you don't take them up on that, you can't bitch and complain if you don't like the offensive coordinator. So if that's true that he was given multiple opportunities, and it doesn't say that he didn't take him up on it, but the wording of it is weird. He was given multiple opportunities to provide input and be involved. Was he actually involved? Did he give his input? Because if he gave input, wouldn't the report be, my understanding is he gave input multiple times and was involved in the search. Not he was given multiple opportunities to provide input and be involved. This is weird. This is really bleeping bizarre. And the more you try to add up all the nonsense for 3 years, it's saying it equals Lamar Jackson going somewhere else. Whether that's this offseason or next offseason, your guess is as good as mine. I'm looking at some odds here. Jets are plus 250 to be Lamar Jackson's next team. That's another thing. Will the Ravens trade him inside the AFC? Because if the Jets swing and miss this year on, let's say, Aaron Rodgers, and then Derek Carr goes to the Saints, don't you then kind of have to call up the Ravens and say, let's get a deal done, instead of signing Jimmy G? Like, if I'm the Jets and I miss out on Aaron Rodgers, I wouldn't even go right away to Derek Carr or Jimmy G. I would then go to the Ravens and see if they could get Lamar Jackson. The Saints are at plus 350. You know, I don't know what the future is of Alvin Kamara after getting indicted today from going back to the Pro Bowl last year. But, you know, any team in the NFC South outside of Tampa, because they weren't in this position last year, are willing to pounce on a quarterback because they're all willing to pounce on Deshaun Watson and had the trade packages ready and the contract ready to go. Then you have at plus 625, the Miami Dolphins. Actually, plus 500 is staying in Baltimore. Plus 850, Carolina. You know Tepper's trying to make a big splash. Plus 850, the Atlanta Falcons. So outside of those teams, I'll give you some other destinations. The two that I go to, and by the way, like inside the AFC, like the Raiders could be fun, but I think they're going to get Rodgers. The Jets, like that could be fun. The Dolphins could be fun with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And then we talked about the NFC South. But when you get outside of the South in the NFC and then also the AFC, the three teams that I jumped to, Vikings, which I've talked about now for over a year, that would have to be next offseason because Kirk's still under contract for one more year at a pretty high price tag. But I guess you could maybe trade Kirk Cousins. But then you got to figure out how to, with the dead money of Kirk Cousins, which I don't know what it is, but I'm assuming it's pretty damn high because of where the contract is, and just recently getting that one-year extension. It's just like, you look at that, it may be too difficult to manage, but I always say this about the salary cap in the NFL. Yes, it's a number, but they find a way to just move around those numbers over and over and over again. Oh, yeah, the dead cap this year is $48 million. So that's a pretty damn large dead cap hit. So I do think you'd have to wait until next offseason to go get Lamar. But if you could put Lamar in Minnesota, when you have Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen still kicking, K.J. Osborne did a nice job, you just traded for T.J. Hockenson, that would be a whole lot of fun. Now, the other two destinations, I look at a team like the Commanders who need a quarterback and are desperate to get a quarterback. I know what they're saying about Sam Howell right now. But the Commanders went as all-in as you could for Carson Wentz last year, and I don't know why. And I know Dan Snyder is looking like he's about to sell the team, and that's a reason why if you're Lamar, like you wouldn't want to go there if Dan Snyder's the owner. But since he's on his way out, it appears, I look at that roster. I think that roster's good. They have a tremendous front seven on defense. You got Terry McLaurin. You got Jahan Dotson. I like Brian Robinson Jr. at the running back position. Like, you got pieces there with the Commanders. So if Lamar is getting traded, I would actually think the Commanders are an attractive destination. And who would have ever thought this? I'm also going to say the Detroit Lions. Like, if I would have told you this a year ago, the Commanders and Lions would be attractive destinations if Lamar Jackson gets traded, you would say, what the heck are you smoking? Now, I know Goff had a really good season, and now there's some belief in Jared Goff, but I got to see more from Jared Goff. If Lamar Jackson, though, is available this year and this offseason, if like the Ravens say, we're not going to get a deal done, we want to trade him, you got Amon-Ra St. Brown there. You drafted Jameson Williams. You got a good offensive line. When they drafted Penei Sewell 2 years ago, that defense got to get better, but I like what I saw out of Aiden Hutchinson, and Malcolm Rodriguez did have a good year for the Lions. You know, James Houston also is good for the Detroit Lions as well. Like, you got some pieces there. And you got DeAndre Swift. If you could bring back Jamal Williams, that Lions team went 9-8 after what was a dreadful start right out of the gate at 1-6. They were hot down the stretch. You go get Lamar, like that takes that team from maybe just a playoff team next year to, I know Lamar has had some struggles in the postseason, but like that's a Super Bowl contender. It really is, if he could just stay healthy. So those are some teams that I just think about when we talk about the future of Lamar Jackson. But at this rate, if you're not seeing what I'm seeing, you have every right to disagree. I just don't know. And I'd love to hear it if you want to explain yourself at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. If you're in the camp that you think Lamar's going to sign a long-term extension with the Ravens, I would just like to hear what your reasoning is. Because I can't formulate an argument right now where the Ravens and Lamar reach a long-term deal based off all this crap that we've seen now going on year number three. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We come on back. Why I'm not rooting for Kevin Durant when he's with the Suns, and also, is Kyler Murray a franchise quarterback? We'll discuss next. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. Big topic conversation today. It's once again a very bizarre situation surrounding the details of something going on with Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. I would be really surprised if they get a deal done this offseason. And we're talking about a guy that is a franchise quarterback, is someone I consider to be a great quarterback, has won an MVP unanimously before. I know he's been injured the last 2 years. To not get this deal done, you could have a lot of theories, but if I'm trying to explain to someone why I think the deal will get done, I got nothing at this rate. Because if we can't even figure out what his role was in the offensive coordinating search, then that's concerning to me. And then you have Jordan Schultz saying they told like offensive coordinator candidates before they went with Monken that we can't guarantee anything on Lamar's future. Well, 3-4 weeks ago, you said there was 200% chance he was going to be back with the Ravens. Like, what was that, out of 1,000? So this whole situation, it's just, it's confusing. And if I'm a Ravens fan, it looks murky and it does not look encouraging. And I know that's tough to accept because Lamar has been so good for your team, but I don't see how there's an argument to be made right now other than hope and how you could tell me that you feel good about this deal getting done. And I don't know what Lamar's asking for. There was a report at the Super Bowl, they were like $100 million off. Like, they couldn't even, they're that far off, and this has been a talking point for now going on year number three? That's concerning. That's really concerning to me. And, you know, is it down to the guaranteed money that the owner doesn't want to give him a guaranteed contract? Is that what he's asking for? Like, those are all things that are fair to ask. But if I'm Lamar Jackson, and I don't know, I'm sure another owner would do it, even though there was a lot of resistance to what the Haslam family did with Deshaun Watson. But look what Deshaun Watson was being accused about. And he doesn't have unanimous MVP, and he's just got a fully guaranteed deal. So if Lamar is asking for a fully guaranteed deal, he has the right to do so. And he has the resume to back it up. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Keith in Maryland next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Keith, what's shaking?
It's not really a negotiation. It's a demand. You know, he was fully guaranteed. It's not going to get done. The outlier was the Browns contract. That's an anomaly, and it's just not going to happen. Now, if he wants to stick to them guns, then, you know, it's just, that's just what's going to happen. But it doesn't make any sense that we would sit there. The Ravens would sit there and you know, keep on holding on, holding on, holding on, hope. Now the franchise tag for 2 years.
Yeah,
that ain't gonna happen. I mean, you go.
Well, they could franchise tag him for 2 years, but if they don't get a deal done after this year, and then whatever extended window they use on the second franchise tag, you then have no choice but to trade him because you can't let him just walk for a compensatory third round pick.
Correct. So once you franchise him, you have to franchise him first before you can trade him. So under the first one. So I don't believe it's going to go past the first one.
So you think he's getting traded this offseason?
I believe he will get traded this offseason, sir.
Yeah, and right now, it's weird because I'm stuck in the place of he's getting traded, but is it this offseason or next offseason? And right now I lean more towards it's next offseason because I think the Ravens want to run it back one more year with Lamar. But at what point do you just say enough is enough? This deal's not getting done. Let's not risk anything. I know Dak had the big injury, and he still got a big contract extension. So you get hurt, and then you could still find a way to get a deal done. But there's a big demand on quarterbacks this offseason, especially last year in the draft where only one went in the first round, and you had now Brady retire. It looks like Rodgers is going to go somewhere else. So there's going to be teams calling and teams that are looking for quarterbacks. And if you don't get Rodgers, you tell me you're all in on Derek Carr or Jimmy G? I wouldn't be. You have Lamar Jackson, who would then immediately jump past Derek Carr and Jimmy G. So for me, it's one of those things where, like, I look at it and I go, the end is near, but is it going to end this offseason or next offseason? I'm still leaning more next offseason, but if it ends this offseason, the reasoning is they've tried for two and a half years, and the deal just didn't get done. So how much longer are you going to try to go back to something and expect there to be a different outcome? So maybe they just wanted to part. Let's go to Lee in Cincinnati. Lee, next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Lee.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Zach. And here's what I have to say. I think with Lamar Jackson, I think it's all about money. He'd hire an agent. He doesn't have an agent. He's his own agent.
Okay? Yeah, his mom helps represent him.
Yeah, so You say, what? He does have an agent now?
No, no. His mother helps represent him. That's been the arrangement the last few years.
It was about money. Wouldn't he get somebody like Drew Rosenhaus or Scott Boras, somebody who could get him all that money? It's not about money. For him, I think it's all about pride. I think he just wants the Ravens to show him, hey, you are that important to us. This is why we want you. I think it's much more personal to him than it has been ever with anybody that we've ever seen for any kind of deal. And I think when it comes down to the end, they will end up working it out, kind of like two lovers, you know, two people who are trying to get back together, you know. They're trying to get over the hurdles, and they finally make it at the very end.
Yeah, that's but right now, Lee, they're like $100 million off from reports last week coming out of the Super Bowl. Like, that's a huge number. That's nowhere of them even being remotely close. Like, they're not even talking the same love language anymore. If you want to use the couple analogy, the Ravens have been on the couch, Lamar's been in the bed, and they don't even say hello to one another in the morning. So the odds of them getting back together at this point, and I think extending this marriage well into the future, they're a long shot. And the agent point's fair. And could he do this on his own? Yeah, he could. But it has to be the money in some point because he either wants the fully guaranteed contract or they're $100 million off. How much of that is fully guaranteed? I don't know. But if I had a traditional agent here, I would basically, if I was the agent, advise my client, we are not having you play for the Ravens this year until we get this deal done. And we're going to make a deadline. And if they don't get the deal done then we're going to request a trade. I know with the CBA, it makes it tough for players to hold out now. But that's what I would do. If I'm Lamar, I would hire an agent. And my agent would handle all the contract negotiations. You go prepare for the season, do all that, and I'll keep you in the loop. And if I am the agent, I would say to the Ravens, we get the deal done by this date, or we are requesting a trade, and we don't want to play for you anymore. Let's go to Bob in Maryland next up on CBS Sports Radio. Bob, what's happening?
Good evening.
Yes, Bob, go ahead.
I want you to know I'm 86 years old. I was born in Baltimore, Maryland. I could remember in the old All-America Conference in 1946-47 when Cleveland was in it, San Francisco, and the Baltimore Colts. Baltimore finally settled in 1953. We signed John Unitas in 56 when nobody else wanted him. Even his hometown, Pittsburgh, didn't want him. They were one of the worst teams in football. I don't appreciate you talking about Baltimore like this. This contract dispute is between him and the owner and the general manager.
Bob, Bob.
How do you know anything about Baltimore, mister? You don't live here. You weren't born here. You don't know a damn thing about Baltimore.
Wait, Bob, what did I say negatively? Bob, settle down. Settle down. Calm down a little bit.
I'm down when somebody downs my town.
How did I down your town?
You're irreplaceable. I don't care who you are. When John Unitas got old, he had to retire.
Bob, do me a favor. Just explain to me. Settle down. I'm asking you a simple question. How did I disrespect Baltimore?
How did you disrespect it? This conjecture that you keep coming up with about this, especially the contract, you don't know a damn thing about that contract. If there
I'm
one.
Going off the and reporting, but Bob, how is that being disrespectful to Baltimore? Bob, you got to answer my question or I'm going to let you go. How is that me being disrespectful to Baltimore just playing you quotes and playing you reports that have been on the record about the contract?
You better talk to the man who owns the ball club. That's who.
You know what? Call the Ravens. Call Chad Steele and the Ravens. Oh, enough of you, Bob. It's past your bedtime, too. Oh, that will be disrespectful. Talk to the man that owns the team. All right, we'll send a request to Chad Steele of the Ravens. I guarantee you they're not going to put Steve Bisciotti on this show. That was interesting. Emmanuel, let me ask you this because now I'm really intrigued. He called up and he said I was being disrespectful to Baltimore?
He did, and he seemed pretty hot. So I had to up his age in the call screener from 84 to 86 because the last time he called was 2 years ago.
Okay.
Man. I'm a little worried about his
I don't want to be disrespectful to my elders, but how much alcohol was in the early bird special today?
The blood is boiling.
Oh, my God. Marco, that's like one of the greatest phone calls I've ever heard.
I'm a fan of both.
You disrespected the town.
I'm trying to think what I said
last.
I like
the fire. I like the passion.
Yeah, no, it was good. You know, he still has some of his prime left in him. There's no doubt about it.
He's got a lot of it still left in him. Gives us hope for all.
I'm trying to think what I said that was disrespectful the last 35 minutes ago about Baltimore. That I have nothing. I know when I'm being disrespectful.
He got so hot that I couldn't make out the words
at certain points. There was parts of this that I was like, that's why I asked him like a few times, how is that being disrespectful? He's like, I don't like how you're talking about my Baltimore Ravens. And I'm like, okay, but how is that being disrespectful about Baltimore? And I always love when you have an older caller, like you get the history lesson. You know, back in 1946, you know, this guy was my quarterback.
John Unitas lesson.
Yeah, I'll be fair here, though. I thought that was like an 8.5 out of 10 on the call. So I guess since the Ravens fans are mad, a little perturbed at their organization for not getting a deal done with Lamar Jackson, I'm going to have to be the one that takes the beating. All right, that's good. Bob, you can call me anytime. Once again, I'll say the number for you. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I didn't think I was going to get scolded this evening by an 86-year-old man. That's pretty damn good, Marco.
You never know what you're going to get.
You never know.
That's good.
I call that? That is a weekend overnight phone call. Like when I did the weekend overnights, you would get a lot of those kind of callers.
That's probably why I like it as much as I do.
Right now at 9:30,
I'm a creature of the night.
Wasn't expecting that.
I like that. Like I said, I like the fire. I like the passion. It gives me hope.
Yeah. Marco's going to be like 85 years old calling the radio station. Who are these guys? These clowns? Yeah. These young tools on the air.
Yeah, I doubt that. I doubt that.
Why? That you're not going to live to 86?
Well, that'd be a stunning upset. That would be a stunning upset. But if I did, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be worried about you and Baltimore and any other town.
It'd be like George Mason going to the to the Final Four that one year with Larrañaga.
No, it'd be more than that.
Alrighty.
Can we get a 16 seed actually win the thing? That would be the kind of upset we're looking at.
Watch, Sister Jean will call me tomorrow and we'll start yelling at me. Ay, ay, ay. All righty, we'll come on back. We'll talk a little Kyler Murray. We'll also talk to Kevin Durant. We'll do the closing bell as well. And maybe coming up in the final 20 minutes, someone that's 93 will call into the show and yell at me. Zach Yelp Show, CBS Sports Radio. Let's go to Mike in Maryland. He wants to chime in on the Lamar Jackson conversation. Let's hope Mike doesn't berate me this time. Mike, go ahead.
Real quick before I get to my Lamar point, I worked in radio in Baltimore about 15 years ago. It's actually what I went to school for. I got out of the industry, and now I'm in the entertainment industry, but I used to take Bob as a caller, as an intern.
Oh, really?
So I've known Bob for a very long time, and I'm not calling to defend him on what happened tonight, but the second I heard the way he was, I was like, well, Zach's not winning this argument, even if he is winning this argument. So, but Bob's a great guy, just so you know. He's very passionate about Baltimore.
Yeah, the only part that I was confused about a lot of the phone call was just how he's being disrespectful to Baltimore. That was the point where I was like, hey, can you explain your point to me? And he's like, just how you're talking about it. I'm like, huh?
And he brings up John Unitas in any football argument that has ever had to do with anything ball related. So anyway, I wholeheartedly expect him gone by second year. I'm actually starting to trend from the things that I've heard. I have some buddies that are still around in the industry, and I've heard some things. I'm not gonna say them because it's pointless to say things you don't have validation on. But the things I've heard are coming from people that I trust to know that it's kind of got to be true.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's possibly gone this year. I think they trade him before the draft.
Well, that wouldn't shock me. Like, as I've been saying throughout the show, Mike, I think he is eventually going to get traded. Right now, I still lean that it's next offseason, not this offseason, because I could see the Ravens wanting to franchise tag him and still try to go make a run. But the fact he hasn't been on the field the last 2 years to end the year.
That's honestly the biggest thing for me is I think that what the Ravens are seriously, honestly worried about is, yeah, they do go on this run, right? And they try to do this, and he gets hurt again. And then what are you trading him for next offseason? A first, a second, and maybe a player in a haul of late picks? I mean, there's a team out there will most likely give up at minimum two, but probably three and like a third, and then a player to be,
Deshaun Watson just had everything going on off the field. There was three first-round picks they had to give up to get him.
I know, but I'm saying minimal, like just a bare minimal. And I think if it were the two first round picks, you're also getting, like say it's to the Falcons, you're getting their young corner as well, and you're getting another piece, and then a second and a third.
Gotcha. So like if you get like AJ Terrell and then like two other first round picks or something. Like
yeah.
That.
Yep.
Well, that's the other thing.
I would love to have Lamar here, and I think this thing kind of went. And I'm, to be honest, because if you look at Roquan Smith, Roquan does not have an agent. Roquan just got the most money that an NFL linebacker has ever gotten. So there's no discord, I think, between the Ravens and the working with a player who doesn't have an agent. I think that the circle that is surrounding Lamar is part of what, you know, things I've heard, that there's this fracture. There's a fracture in this relationship, and I don't know if it can be repaired. And at this point, you know, we roll the dice with him next year, and like I said, on the franchise tag, and he gets hurt, then where are we?
Yeah, and the only thing I'll say to that is Dak did get hurt and had a gruesome injury, and they still found a way after 2 years of the tag to get the deal done after that. Mike, good phone call. Appreciate it as always, but it was with that team. That team wanted to get the deal done. I don't know if the Ravens wanted to get that deal done. All right, let's go to Jay in Alaska. Jay, what's happening?
Hey, Zach, it's been a while, man.
I was actually worried about you, Jay. Did you hear my interview with Josh Jacobs, by the way?
No, man, I've been working so hard, man. I've been missing out. I've been in meetings during those times, and I try to catch up. But I will definitely go back and read up on things. I just got back from Australia. That's another thing.
Wow. Well, Jay, you got to do me a favor. Eventually, when I let you go, I'm going to put you on hold at the end of this phone call. I got to get your email address because we did mention Jay in Alaska to Josh Jacobs on Radio Row.
All right. I appreciate that. Listen, I have 2 points I want to make here. I agree with you with the Lamar thing. One, the first one about him needing an agent. I think we're minimizing his mom's role in this whole fiasco.
Wait, now hold on. I'm confused. Is this a different Jay in Alaska? This doesn't sound like the normal Jay in Alaska.
This is a Jay in Alaska. I've been calling you and Hickey. I mean,
this is the super fan Raider Jay in Alaska.
Oh, no.
No. See? I knew this that it wasn't the other Jay in Alaska. We have two Jay in Alaskas?
I guess so.
You tweet me a lot, right?
I do. I tweet you and I am on Instagram.
Okay. Well, you, Jay in Alaska, I did not mention you to Josh Jacobs. I mentioned the other Jay in Alaska to Josh Jacobs. But now I know who you are. But I was at first, I'm like, this doesn't sound like Jay. But go ahead.
Well, and I think his mom, we're minimizing her role in here. I think if it was up to Lamar, he would have just played. But if we go to the verbiage that you use on all these Twitter stuff and everything, like you don't love Lamar, I think his mom is the one active on Twitter more than he is. The second point I want to make, I agree also that Baltimore is moving away from Lamar. I think they've set up the whole thing with a running quarterback in mind, but since Lamar is not agreeing with everything and is choosing to be difficult to work with, the hiring of Todd Monken, I think, is something that we should look at. There's a chance that they might try to get Stetson Bennett drafted in there, and he's just a plug and play, and he's a better thrower than Lamar, but Lamar's a better runner.
Yeah, here's what I'll say, Jay, and thanks for the phone call. I would vehemently disagree with that theory. Lamar Jackson is one of the unanimous MVP. However you want to break that down, if your grand plan is to go from Lamar Jackson to Stetson Bennett, who had a wonderful, marvelous career at Georgia, just because they bring in his offensive coordinator at Georgia, the Ravens, they just shown you they don't care about the quarterback position. And Jason Lacafora said this to us about a month ago. The Ravens think they could win games 20-17. They think this is the early, like, 2000 Ravens where it doesn't matter who the quarterback is and your defense will just beat you up. That's their philosophy. That's their style. Because look how quickly they got the Roquan Smith deal done. But now it's been over 2 years that they haven't got the Lamar Jackson deal done. So I don't think we're going to ever get to a point where the deal gets done. So that's actually all the time we have today. We'll do a lot on Durant and Kyler Murray tomorrow. Sorry we blew off the closing bell today. And we had a big Jay in Alaska confusion. Now, I thought that was the super fan Jay in Alaska, who's a Raider super fan. And then as the phone call continued, I'm like, wait, this isn't our guy Jay in Alaska. And then I forgot there was another Jay in Alaska that does tweet us. So Man, Emmanuel, this gets confusing. A lot of Jays in Alaska. I didn't know there were this many Jays in Alaska and this many that end up listening and calling our show.
Of all the identical caller names and towns, Jay in Alaska. Yeah. What are the actual odds of that?
That guy, Jay in Alaska, was like, oh, I didn't listen to it. And he like still kind of went along with it. That I don't know if that guy's actually a Raiders fan too. But maybe when that guy always hears us talking about Jay in Alaska, he thinks we're talking about him. But no, we talk about the Jay in Alaska that's a super Raider fan.
You got two Jay in Alaskas who are so devoted that the other one decided to pretend he was one just for a moment.
What an ending to this show. Bob and Marilyn, hope you have a good night. That's all I'll say. Roman Harper, thank you. Big thanks to Tim Brown. We'll be back tomorrow. Pro Football Hall of Famer, DeMarcus Ware, is going to join us as well. Talk to you 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.